Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Liz Reed, filling in for Paul Guggenheimer. When I found out I'd be sitting in the host chair today, I took to my Facebook page to ask folks who they'd like me to interview on the show. And overwhelmingly, I heard people wanted to hear from one person. Her name is Etta Cetera. Etta is a prison justice activist. And earlier this summer, she married the city of Pittsburgh. She joins us now to talk about her wedding and her work. Etta, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Liz. I'm so honored to be here.
So tell me, how does one marry a city?
Well, one has a very long engagement. I actually have been talking about getting married to the city since the early 2000s. And I turned 40 this year on May 1st. And I wanted to really talk about my relationship to the city of Pittsburgh and really honor that.
Because you said that you have a complicated relationship to this land that we call America, to this land that we call Pittsburgh.
That's true. I do feel very complicated, and I feel like it is a very complicated relationship. So I guess I just want to talk about my wedding dress.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one, to get married, one has to have a wedding dress. The wedding dress was made by two friends of mine from a flag that my mother used to fly at our house in the suburbs of Baltimore, Maryland. And I have a very visceral reaction when I see the flag. It reminds me of the history of this country, the history of attempted genocide of the indigenous people, the history of the enslavement of African people. And I am a descendant of settlers, European settlers. And so when I think about being on the land, it's complicated for me to just walk around and feel like I belong here, like I deserve to be here. And I also love the land. I think that I do belong here. But I want to honor that complicated relationship. So I created this wedding dress out of the flag to reconstruct the rage that I feel sometimes thinking about the history of our country and to celebrate the possibility of new relationships.
And when this was a wedding, there was a lot of traditional elements of it. You said you sent out invitations 6 months in advance. So talk about how this was a wedding.
Well, my parents were there. They gave me away. I had braids of honor instead of maids of honor or bridesmaids. They were braids because I love the idea of braids being woven together and being strong and tight. So all of these amazing, beautiful people that keep me here on this planet, walking on this complicated land, and all represented different important facets in relationships, were coming together to weave this giant braid.
So what does that mean for you now that you are... are you married to me since I live in Pittsburgh?
Only consensual love. Only if you like. What does it mean? It means that I'll always know where I'm coming from. So I want to know where I'm coming from, and I want to be proud of where I'm coming from. And while I did grow up in the suburbs of Baltimore, I really came alive in Pittsburgh, and I love Pittsburgh. And
you said that you feel like you came of age here, that you grew up here. What was it about Pittsburgh that helped you transition or become who you are?
Well, the people, really just meeting a lot of different people and learning about social justice and the real history of this country and life, and definitely learning about the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal, honestly, had a tremendous impact on me. That was the first social justice cause that I became involved in, and yeah.
Well, let's talk about, you invited a lot of friends and family to this wedding, which was held at Sunrise at the Point. And a lot of them were able to come. You also invited family and friends that were not able to come physically because they are incarcerated. And one of those people is Avis Lee. Can you talk about Avis Lee's story?
Sure. Avis Lee grew up in Pennsylvania. And when she was 18... in the year 1980, she was 18. She made some bad decisions, and her brother went to commit a robbery, and during that time, a man was killed, and that's very sad and horrible. Avis was the lookout across the street, and when it was dark, she couldn't see. When she heard the shots, everybody fled. She went to a bus to get on the bus and told the bus driver that somebody had been hurt and they needed to get an ambulance there. And she found out later that the man had died. And she is, they were caught, and she was sentenced to life without parole for her participation, which means that she has spent over 34 years in prison. She's currently 52 years old, and she's a Braille transcriber. And actually, yesterday we went to Harrisburg.
Yeah, so why don't you talk about why this is relevant, especially today?
Yeah, so yesterday we were trying to get her sentence commuted because we feel like it's very unjust for her to have spent it's excessive sentencing. Like, she definitely feels responsible and takes responsibility for her part in this crime that ended in this very horrible way. But after 34 years in prison, we really don't feel like she's a threat to society, and we'd like to see her come home. So we're trying to get her sentence commuted. So we're on a campaign to restore meaningful commutation. And we went to Harrisburg. There was a merit review hearing where the Board of Pardons denied her a public hearing. 5 votes, a unanimous vote denial.
Why don't you explain to what the Board of Pardons and the merit review hearing is? What does that mean?
Okay, so in order for a lifer to have their sentence commuted, they need to go through this long process, and it's about a 3-year process, and they have to get approval from the prison system, from the head of Department of Corrections, from like their own prison, and then it goes to the Board of Pardons, which is like a board of 5, which has like the lieutenant governor, attorney general, a psychologist, a criminal justice expert, and a victim's advocate, like a center office of victims advocate person. And the merit review hearing, they just decide whether they think it's worthy of going to a public hearing.
And they have this like 3 times a year?
It's 3 times a year where they hear people who are trying to have their sentences commuted. And it's not just lifers. It's actually mostly people who aren't serving life.
Okay. And so yesterday, there was a group of people. There was a rally and a press conference in Harrisburg. Avis Lee, you said she was denied. She will not be getting a public hearing.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's true. It's devastating news. You know, it's actually the recidivism rate for people over 50 years old is extremely low. People actually age out of crime. And it's like it costs so much money to have these aging prisoners, too. So it's like the state of Pennsylvania would rather have an aging Braille transcriber incarcerated at the cost of like $40,000 to $60,000 a year. You know, it just doesn't then, you know, have her come home to a community that wants her here. We want her back in our community so bad. We have so many opportunities for her. It's just, it doesn't really make sense. She is not a threat to society.
And there was more, you were doing more than just raising awareness, holding a rally and sort of bringing that energy. You actually had a meeting with the aides of some legislators.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. It was, you know, while it was devastating, it actually is this really exciting possibility. We had a statewide coalition, many organizations. We lobbied. We went to different legislators. We met with the governor's office, and we also had a very exciting meeting with legislator Ed Gainey's office, one of our local reps. He's amazing. His office is amazing. We had a transformative conversation where we're really talking about, like, how can we okay, so there's 5,100 people serving life without parole. So it's like the death penalty has about 200 people serving the death penalty in Pennsylvania. The life sentences are 5,100 people. So it's like if there was 5,000 people sentenced to death in the state, would people be talking about it a little bit more? Would it be more of a like, wow, that seems like a lot? You know, and there's no release valve. There's no, not that, you know, people need to be held accountable for their actions, but there also is like this excessive punishment that really needs to be reformed.
Well, and back in the 70s, there was an average of, 35 people a year having their sentences commuted. What happened in the last several decades that now Governor Corbett has commuted 0 sentences?
Yeah.
Correct?
I would say, you know, the war on drugs, the war on the poor, politicians afraid of losing their jobs, essentially. It's like there should not be 2 politicians, like the lieutenant general and the attorney governor, should not be on that board of pardons, because it's a political, it's so politicized. They can't, you know, talk about whether this person is reformed
because
or not.
They're concerned that someone they pardon might commit a
Yeah, it really
crime.
Happened in the 80s, you know, people getting tough on crime, trying to it's a very political decision.
So do you feel like this, so you're working toward meaningful commutation. So there's this process for commutation, but we don't actually see it happening. So what does the future, I guess, look like for working toward what you guys call meaningful commutation?
Yeah, well, we would like people to support Senator Daylen Leach's trying to get this bill together that would support murder felony conviction rule commutation for that, which would help out in cases like Avis's, where she was an accomplice and didn't actually commit the crime.
Great. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us today. We've been speaking with local activist and performance artist Etta Cetera. Etta, thanks for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much for having me, Liz.
You can find photos from the ceremony on our website, WESA.FM. Thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Paul Guggenheimer will be back in the host chair on Tuesday. Have a great holiday weekend, everybody. And thank you so much for listening. Remember, you can always find more from our shows on our website, WESA.FM. You can also find our shows on iTunes. Just search for Essential Pittsburgh on iTunes.